morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I have with me today someone that I have the utmost respect for, and he's doing a job that sometimes is a thankless job, but he's doing it, in my opinion, and I've been all over the world. His name is Chief. His first name is Chief. His second name is Thomas, and his third name is Dolly. And he's Chief of Police of the Pittsfield Police Department. And a person, like I said, I have a lot of respect for. It's not an easy job. It never was, but today it's especially harder. And I will say this, Pittsfield is unique in that it has a police department that is highly functioning, in my opinion, because it has to be. They don't have that many troops. And that's kind of always been that way.
Yeah.
Without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour, a person, as I said, I think is great. Thomas Dolly, how are you, Chief?
Good, Bill. How are you doing this morning? How are you?
Well, for an old fat bald guy, I'm still here. I came back from physical therapy, so to say I'm pain-free would not be factual.
Yeah,
but thank God they're doing a great job. I'm an old man with a bad rotator cuff and bad lungs, so they can't operate. So they.
No, I appreciate that, Bill. Thank you very much for having me on this morning. It's always a pleasure to speak with you on and off the air. Whenever I see you, make a point to come talk to you. So.
Well, I always salute you because I think. You made a comment one time I picked up on. I was reviewing some of the old ones for this one, where you said, I never wanted the job. And remember that? And
I do. Yeah.
And it's so true. It's evident you're a cop's cop.
That was my heart and soul was being in patrol. I loved being out in the community and, being in the cruiser and speaking with people and answering calls. I mean, that's the heart of policing, really.
You're exactly right. And, the old model, protect and serve. Boy, no, it's so true today.
Yeah.
It really is. You had a bank robbery. Now, you want to go back in history? Detective Richard Hinault and I had a bank robbery in that same bank.
No kidding.
Yeah.
On West Street. Okay.
On West Street. Yep. Berkshire Bank. Yep. And a well-known person in the city. I'll share his name with you after. I can't afford lawsuits. So, but it'll ring true to you, believe me.
Okay.
Yeah, same bank. But the difference was he went downstairs and went had opened a safety deposit box and went downstairs and put the money he just robbed in the safety deposit box and walked out the door.
Really?
Side door.
Okay.
Pretty sharp guy.
This, I got to tell you, I cannot commend the members of this department enough for the job well done. Everybody came together. They worked as a team. It was a quick resolution. I also got to give a shout out to the employees and the patrons that were in the bank at that time. They kept very calm, collected, got a good description. They were outstanding witnesses to this.
That's what it takes, though. You know, and I know if the people, the witnesses come forward and contribute, boy, it makes the road so much easier.
It really does. And, and officers were in the area at the time.
Wow.
And was able to apprehend the suspect and collect a bunch of evidence related to the crime as well. So everything fell into place. We worked well together.
Yes.
This is what we do. We solve crimes.
Yeah. And I don't, and again, I want the people of Pittsfield, Berkshire County, and they'll listen to this because now we're broadcasting into Southern Berkshire County.
Okay.
So, but Pittsfield's got a fine police department. They handle really, and I don't want to get my friends at the Eagle upset with me, but they really, I thought today was a good coverage. But you guys do so much good work that gets, if any coverage, very little, a blurb.
We try to push out, since I began as chief, you know, one of my goals is to push out more of what we do. You know,
yes.
More. I'm not a big social media guy or anything like that, but we do have people here that do that. So I said, listen, if we have a good case or a good arrest,
yeah,
good in the community, promotions, let's push it out. Let the people know what's yeah. actually going on here, you know?
Yeah, and I think you do it very tactfully. I also like what you do when you have, like, missing juveniles. You put those out on Facebook.
Correct.
And all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very powerful. You know, social media has become very powerful in
yes,
a great way. It's an excellent tool for law enforcement.
It is an excellent tool, and it can be used to our advantage or your advantage.
Yes, sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there's the naysayers. But I get those.
Yeah.
You know. I end every show with God bless, and there's a couple of people out there who keep in, threatening me that they're going to go to the FCC, the separation of God and state, and I'm thinking, watch a different program, you know.
Yeah, you know, you can't win either way, Bill.
No. How's your manpower, your staffing?
We're doing, well, you know, it's a tough time of year with vacations and stuff like
yeah.
that. We have a couple officers out on injuries and some other different events. But, you know, during this time of year, it's very, very difficult to staff. My
yeah.
officers are getting mandatoried on all shifts to fill
wow.
shifts.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's very, very pressing on the officer and his family or her family. And, you know, we have a lot of things that we do outside of shift work, which is, you know, downtown patrol, bike patrol and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's hard to staff those too, because they're always working on their shifts. So it's trying to find a balance. But, you know, like I told you before, Bill, we're budgeted for 97 officers. You know, we have one in the academy right now. We have three in the FTO program, which is the field training program.
Oh, good.
And now we're going to be shortly with the new regulations with civil service. As you know, back in the day, well, still to this day, you know, you have to take a civil service test and get
right.
on the list. We're also going to be looking at, it's called alternative pathways through civil service in Boston, where we're able to hire not on the civil service list, as opposed to hiring other ways, you know, like lateral transfers or just simply applying. You know, it's going to give a real good diverse pool. You know, so not everybody can take tests.
No.
And some people who do take tests may not do well on it. So this gives the opportunity of being hired under the alternative pathways, so we can get more officers signed up, trained, and on the street.
Yeah, I think that's we have to do something to expedite replacing officers who retire, who are injured, retired, or whatever. It's been a problem since I was there.
It's an archaic system.
We had mandatory overtime.
Yeah.
You know?
And officers get burned out, Bill. They get burned out.
Yes, they do.
You know?
And it causes, and it can, let me rephrase that, and it can cause family issues within the officers' families.
It's unfortunate, but it does happen.
Yeah.
It does happen.
I mean, but,
you know, going back to the bank robbery, you know,
yeah.
I want to touch about, you were talking about staffing and, you know, basically what resources that we have. We're one of five departments to actually investigate. We have a detective bureau. We have a crime scene
yeah.
unit. We have a digital evidence unit that actually, we're the only one in Berkshire County that actually investigate, say, homicides or violent
yeah.
crimes, sexual assaults, bank robberies from A to Z. We do the
yep.
crime scene. We do the investigation. You know, some of the other bigger cities, obviously Boston, Springfield, maybe Worcester, stuff like that. They have their own detective bureaus as well. But there's only, I think, maybe five departments left in the
yeah.
Commonwealth that actually do this. Other people rely on the state police for their investigation.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a and I'm glad you brought that up, Chief.
Yep.
That's something this city should be proud of, is that they can investigate. They don't have to bring in the state police. And they do that, and they have their own crime scene. Yeah, I know somebody that works in that. You've been doing it for what, 25, 30 years now, John.
Yeah.
But and again, and I not because I was associated with that department, but I'm doing it from a person who's had a vast experience working with departments all over the world. This police department, I would put up against any police department, its size or a little larger.
Yeah.
You know, New York PD, they got more people sitting in offices than than Chief Dolly has on the street, you know.
Yeah.
And the other thing, I say this for taxpayers, and I say it for political voting people. You know who you are. There has to be, for officer safety, for public safety, so many officers on the street. Don't say they can run light at night. I'll give you a scanner to listen to at night. It's not like the old days where, when the bars finally closed, that we got kind of quiet. Not anymore.
No, we're busy, from sun up to sundown and then
Yep.
some, and it's, at any given time, Bill, I will have a minimum of seven officers assigned to the street, which is seven beats. You cannot, we will not go below that for
No.
officer safety. And that's very important when you're trying to staff. And when you're
Yeah.
staffing, you got to make sure that A, the beats are filled, your shift is secure for officer safety, and you don't have it's very, very few and far between where we have one or two officers overstaffing.
Yeah. Very,
Very
very
few,
few.
And when
Yeah.
we do, that's a bonus because we're able to use those resources, downtown or summon services or warrant services or traffic. We're able to use
Yeah.
additional resources. But unfortunately, lately we haven't had that luxury.
Yeah. And the issue too is that what's the basic academy training now? How many weeks is that?
I think it's 24 to 26 weeks, I think it
Yeah.
is. Don't quote me
Yeah.
on that, but it's up
No,
there.
I think you're right, because I know it's gone up significantly from when I went through, but of course, when I went through, we still had horses. So,
And then, that's just the first phase because once they
yeah.
get here, they go through the field, a very, very rigorous, very concise field training program, which is another 14 weeks of different phases, which is, in my opinion, is more stressful than going to the academy because you're being
Oh, yeah.
evaluated on everything you do.
Yep. No, I agree, because in the old day, when I left there and went to other place, we had that field training. An academy is mostly kind of academic and a little physical, you know, run in the morning and all that.
Yeah.
But the field training is, you're right, you're being judged on how you handle every situation.
Absolutely. And I put our field training program up to any other
Good.
training program.
And to me, a real asset to any department is to have wonderful, experienced field training officers.
Yes, and that's how they're chosen. We go through a hiring process
Yeah.
for field training officers, and these are individuals who've shown that they can lead and mentor and coach officers, new officers,
Yeah, and train.
and train.
It's not just evaluating them, it's taking that classroom theory and putting it into practice. And you know,
Because they throw so much at you at the academy that
oh.
it's very hard to consume all that and then apply that to the street. So this is their opportunity to see real time,
Yeah.
real life situations.
And Pittsfield, we like to I'll refer back to our friend Detective Sergeant Hennault. He used to compare Pittsfield's like an M&M, candy on the outside, but be careful. You don't know what's on the inside. Because we have the same problems per capita as Boston.
Correct. Just a smaller, it's
On a
scaled
smaller
down.
scale. Yeah.
We have it here. We
Yeah.
have it. I mean, 46,000 on a census, if
Yeah.
that. And that's the people who don't go to the census. You know, there's people that live in here probably not on the census. So we don't know what
Yeah.
we have here for a population.
No, we don't. We don't. And it's in some areas and instances, Chief, would you say it's also a transient population?
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of a lot of people that we've dealt with or arrest that don't have roots here, that
Right.
don't live here or come up here once in a while. You know, it's a whole different population from when I started. I used to know pretty much everybody on the street.
Yeah, me
And
too.
that's based on, you know, going to school here and working in the jail prior to this.
Yeah.
You know people.
Yeah.
And you become, you know, acquaintances with these people. You get respect, you give respect. That's how it goes. Now, I don't know anybody anymore, you know?
Yeah, and I say to officers, and I every time I see young officers, even at the tragic funeral and wake of DA Chagru's stepdaughter, you got two goals in life. One is to go home after every shift, and
Absolutely.
the other is the day that you get the magic numbers, you put your paperwork in.
Yeah.
You know, I think we've talked about it. We had a captain when I was there. He retired on Friday, and Monday at 8 o'clock he was back in civilian clothes. He said, "Cap, you retired?" "Yeah." He said, "I figure I'd stop by. I don't have anything else to do." And I thought, as a young kid, I thought, that's not going to be me.
Well, you know, there's a shelf life for doing this work, and
Yeah.
you know that police officer or being involved in police work is highly stressful,
Yep.
and you know the life expectancy of a police officer is much less than your average person
Yeah.
because of just the dynamics of the job and the toll it takes on mental health and the body.
Yeah.
So, for officers, commanders, chiefs that stay in this position 30 plus years, God bless them.
That.
You know, I mean, what was that? There was a saying I saw at one point where you work till 65 and maybe you have 15 good years left, or do you work till 55 or 50 and then have 20, 25 good years left? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, pick
I
your avenue.
always thought that as a group, the Mass Police Association should work to drop the retirement age.
I
Retirement.
agree.
I mean, look at LA, 20 and out,
Yeah, state police 25 and out.
yeah. This, what is it now? 37 for people coming on, or 30? Somebody told me it went up from 35. What did it used to be? 55 and 30, right?
Well, I think now it's 25 years is 75% of your pension for state police.
Oh, state, yeah.
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 But, once, I think you're invested with the city of Pittsfield at
10.
10 years. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But to get your full pension, your full retirement,
You're probably
they got to
about
work on those
32.
numbers.
Yeah, 32 years, 35 years, and 65 is the cutoff. So,
Let me know if you see any guys hanging around there at 65.
yeah, no, yeah, it's there, there's been a few
Yeah.
in the past. I'm not gonna bring up any names,
No,
but
I know who you're talking. Some of the ones you're talking about.
yeah,
I mean, wow.
God bless them.
Yeah. The if people are interested, because I want to make this beneficial to you also,
Sure.
People are interested in becoming a Pittsfield police officer. How would they approach that?
So what I'm gonna tell you this, and like I told you before, I'm not a big social media buff,
Right.
but we're gonna be pushing out on our Facebook page
Oh, cool.
different steps and different things that's
Oh,
gonna
cool.
be coming up in the future. We're going to try to get out to colleges and do some fairs and, like trying to acquire lateral transfers that are already MPTC certified and trained, which is a benefit to the city because then we don't have to put anybody through the academy. We already have a trained
Exactly.
officer and post-certified. We're also going to go through, I believe, a company software which will allow people to apply through this company,
Oh,
and
cool.
they'll be vetted through this company, and then we
Oh,
get the
that's
finished results that way. So there's going to be a lot of different avenues that we're going to try to open up, and
excellent.
yeah, to also satisfy the requirements for the human resource division in Boston for civil service.
Oh, cool.
From what I understand is, within 5 years, you were to hire off the list, 50% off the list and 50% on the list. So if I'm hiring 10 people, I can
Right.
hire five from the alternative pathways, then five from the certified list.
Yeah.
And that'll suffice. So
Well,
I can, yeah.
you gotta find, I mean, not you, there has to be quicker methods of filling vacancies.
I tell you, this alternative pathways, you see departments all across the Commonwealth posting flyers about lateral transfers and
Oh, wow.
applications and stuff like that. So it's really, it's the civil service was archaic.
Oh,
It is archaic.
it is our
And
case.
they figured out through mass chiefs that it wasn't working. We weren't getting the numbers. So let's find a different way
Right.
to recruit officers and get them interested. And now that the wages are competitive,
Yep.
the benefits, the stipends, everything is very competitive with the Pittsfield Police Department and what we have to
Sure.
offer here.
Yeah. And again, with unions, civil service was formed when police and fire and all these folks couldn't form unions. Now with unions, I'm not sure you need that. I have guys that, well, it protects us. Well, I don't know.
It's
Maybe.
another level. It's
Yeah.
another level. Civil service was originally formed to eliminate any biases
Right.
with the hiring authorities. Brothers, sisters, aunts and uncles or whatever,
Yeah.
it eliminates that bias of a hiring authority hiring somebody.
Right.
So they put civil service, and then, like you said, now we have unions. So now there's that extra level of protection for the employee.
Yeah. And I guess what bothers me the most, civil service never evolved as the work life evolved.
Right.
You
Right.
know.
But they're shorthanded down in Boston anyways, so it's
Yeah.
very difficult to get anywhere with civil service because they've eliminated most of their workforce. It used to be huge, a
Oh,
complete
yeah.
division. And
Yeah.
now I think there's only a few people working down there for the whole Commonwealth.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, and there's another reason or the legislature should look at it and come up with alternatives. I've been in other places where they have post police officer standard and training. It's run by the community colleges.
No kidding.
Yeah, and that way there, you're paying, not you, the city, but you, the candidate, are paying for the degree, the associate degree.
Yeah.
It's also a police academy.
Yeah. No, there's a couple. I know they're looking into some of the community colleges in the Commonwealth to run
Yeah.
some of the academies, which is interesting, as long as the MPTC, allows it and certifies it. But it's a long road. I think we're going to get a diverse pool of candidates now.
I think you will. I really think you will. And in today's day and age, you really need it. And like what cops face today, who's the guy down in New York? He wants to send have social workers replace cops. Well, it sounds nice, but I and you have we've experienced domestic disputes that are you don't want to send a social worker into that particular violent situation. Now I know you guys have ride-alongs that help out, and that to me is the model. Let the cops go in first and get it settled down, and then bring the
Safety is always paramount to anything.
oh.
And we do have co-responders that are on my staff that assist
Yep.
the officers in mental health situations. But you're right, if you don't want to send co-responders or social workers into a volatile situation, especially a domestic,
Oh, yeah.
with nothing, because it's a very, very, a lot of officers either get ambushed or they walk into just a,
A Donnybrook.
yeah, it's just,
I mean, I've been in there. You've probably been in them where the battle's still going on. You got to pull them apart, and then all of a sudden the perpetrator wants to use you as a battering ram. So I think before cities or towns or make these, there are other models, yours for one, that should be studied. Because I think some of these people really don't know what they're talking about. They don't
No,
follow
we've
those.
been doing it for years, Bill. We've modeled this co-responder program for geez, almost 10 years, and people started catching on and liking what we were doing.
And it's so effective. It's safer for everybody concerned. For the victim, the perpetrator, the law enforcement officers, and the social worker.
I got to tell you, when I first started law enforcement back in 95, you didn't go to too many mental health calls. There were few and far between. And, as an officer, you handled it. Now, daily, we're responding to mental health calls constantly. And, having the co-responders with us certainly allows us to, if we go to a scene and we deem it safe and the co-responder's like, listen, I'll take it from here, that frees up the officer and puts the officer back on the street instead of two officers being tied up with something.
When I was on, we didn't have that many mental health, but we had Thursday nights when the GE and everybody paid was always a wild and a woolly night for domestic. And I would say a good 60 to 70% of the cases, alcohol was involved.
It's unfortunate, but this is we're here to protect and keep everybody safe.
And you got a great department, and you're going to be losing some people within the next few years too.
We got some some commanders and stuff like that are going to be retiring. So.
And we're going to take a break. I'm here, and I really enjoy having Chief Dolly on because he tells it like it is. He's an experienced police officer, and like I think his people refer to him, and I certainly do, he's a cop's cop. He's paid his dues. They used to say, "What is it? Until you got X number of years on the bricks, you don't know anything." Well, that's when we used to walk. So, were you on when we had the ambulance? And we.
No, that was early 90s, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know when they lost it. I was gone, but we
Yeah.
got people on walking beats that were so obscure to be the second and third and fourth guy on the ambulance. You know, one
Yeah.
guy drive it out and he'd drive down North Street picking up beat cops, and if they were tied up in another cruiser, they'd come over on Tyler Street and pick the 9 and 10 man up. Oh, it's great.
Yeah, no, there was walking beats all around the city,
Oh yeah.
and even before that, where we only had one cruiser and one radio.
Yeah.
You have to use the call boxes.
That's right.
Okay.
One funny story before we go to break. I'll wait and do it after break. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. Simulcasting on PCTV, channel 1301. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Still paying for that monthly gym membership? How about that streaming service you never watch? Why not support WTBR-FM instead? For just $8.97 a month, you could show your support for our community radio station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click donate. It's as easy as that. We need to support this station to keep it on the air, and every little bit helps. WTBR-FM, for the love of radio.
Living Recovery is a peer recovery support center located in downtown Pittsfield. We welcome all who have struggled with addiction or those affected by another's addiction.
What have you learned while being involved at Living in Recovery?
I can own my own recovery path.
What has been your experience at Living in Recovery?
It's a family.
What keeps you coming back to Living in Recovery?
The live events.
For more information on Living in Recovery, visit our website, livingrecoverypittsfield.org, or phone us at 413-570-8243.
Let's have a party.
Hey friends, if you're looking for some party music, tune in to Polka Express with me, Bill Gustavus, every Wednesday night from 6 to 8 and Sunday mornings from 8 to 10, right here on 89.7 WTBR, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. I'm here to, again, if you're just joining us, Chief Thomas Dolly. He's the Chief of Police in Pittsfield. In my humble opinion, I think he's doing a great job. Pittsfield is a... We are... A cosmopolitan city. We're not rural. And I like to say in Berkshire County, I say this to our mutual friend, the district attorney, there's cosmopolitan city, there's rural, and then there's rural.
Yes.
You know, when you have towns of 400 and 700, I mean, but we are a city that has all the same issues that Boston per capita.
Correct.
Drugs, we have guns, we have gangs.
Yep.
Just had a bank robbery that they solved lickety split. And yeah, that's good police work, responding. And again, they're using, and the chief and I talked about this. I don't think they're never going to hire either one of us to do their multimedia stuff, because, like, if we didn't have the guys at the station, trust me, we wouldn't be doing this.
There's the younger generation that really take a shine to that, and I've been approached by officers say, hey, chief, can I help out with this? I'd like to push more stuff out about the department, you know, and you know, obviously in a positive light. I says, go ahead.
Yeah.
Whatever you got to do.
And again, I mentioned in the first half, folks, to the chief, I like what he's doing when they have missing children. He gets it out. So you can see, actually, you know, a name is nice if you know the person, but this is, and that's got to have helped a lot.
It has. We've gotten a lot of good feedback with that, and a lot of cases have been, for lack of a better term, solved.
Yeah.
Utilizing that platform.
Yeah. We now have a collaboration, I think, of a district attorney, his office with his state police people. He makes a point of approaching everything as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And the chiefs now all have an open relationship with the DA and the DA's team. And I go back to Tony Roberto. That's what we had with Tony and Jerry Downing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they wanted to work with you.
Yeah, no, it's been a great collaboration with the Berkshire County District Attorney's Office. They're very knowledgeable. They're very pro-law enforcement. We are a team. We're on the same team. All the chiefs, all the departments in Berkshire County, the state police, we all work very, very well together. And, you know, and you see the results of what's going on.
Yeah. And again, we do see the results in case, and really and truly, the chief's running short, but that's not his issue. It's a fulfillment issue with an archaic system. We talked about it in the first half. They're going to have some.
Bless you.
Excuse me. Thank you. Some alternatives to filling slots, and that's a welcome to my ears to hear that.
Yes,
because we can't go and I have to say this. I say it every time. I feel sorry for Chief Sammons and Chief Dolly and Department Head Smith and Jones and Green when they have to go up the civil service departments and explain why their overtime budget is over, why their budget's over. Well, they have to overtime people to fill slots that would be filled by full-time people if they had the full-time people.
Yeah, no, that is definitely a part of you know, budgeting is to fill, you know, unmanned slots. We have to, it goes back to filling our minimums, our mandatories. It is a portion of that budget. There's a lot of other things that the department does. You know, our own background checks, our own hiring. We do. We have anti-crime. We have bike patrol. We have downtown walking beats. We have just an array of different things outside of patrol that the officers are involved in or can get involved.
Yeah, and again, it's pulling Peter to support Paul.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases, really and truly. I mean, I have people say, you know, well, like I live on William Street. Boy, just sort of speeding on William Street. Yeah, I do. I live here. Well, you should say something to them. Okay, they know about it.
I have officers that are always out there on William Street, Elm Street. I don't know if you see them or not. You may not, but they're.
No,
it's I cars all around the city, you know.
But again, it's a call comes. They may want to run radar for 3 hours, but calls come in. They got to pull them to answer calls too.
Unfortunately, that's correct. But I get emails and phone calls from city councilors and the mayor and from residents regarding issues in their neighborhoods. And, you know, I don't sit on that stuff. I get it out. I push it out. I push it out right to the appropriate people to handle it.
Yeah. And I see them here. I see them pulling people over. And again, if you only got a dozen eggs, you only can have 12 meals.
Yeah.
There it is, you know. And I think, and I will always support what you're doing, because I've been in situations where, you know, I don't have the staff, you know, and that's just kind of the way it is.
But we always, we make do, and we get the job done, and we find a way, you know. Back when COVID started, you know, the nation shut down.
Yeah.
And then people started thinking of creative ways of how to, you know, to cope or to adapt to what was going on.
Yeah.
And a lot of those things are still active today, you know, with the food deliveries and the Ubers and the,
yeah,
all the different, the work from home, you know, a lot of corporations found out that they don't need to have an office or a building. People can do the same work from home. So I know a lot of my colleagues still work from home once or twice a week or full time.
Yeah.
So it's just a lot to adapt.
Well, the Army had a saying, improvise and overcome.
Yes.
And I think you do that probably, let's see, 5 times a week.
Yeah. Yeah, you get thrown a curveball. You get thrown a curveball and you say, listen, okay, we're going to get through this. Let's put our heads together. That's why I have a command staff, officers, sergeants alike, and say, all right, we have a problem.
Yeah.
Let's figure it out together. I'm not going to always have this, the right answer. So I lean on civilian staff. Hey, how can we fix this?
Yeah. And you know, you're fortunate that you got a good command staff.
Very fortunate. Yeah.
Yeah. Very fortunate. Because I've been in places where they're competing with each other rather than working with each other.
Yeah, no, that, you know, I don't allow that. If there's an issue, you tackle it and you say, okay, what's the issue here? Let's talk about it.
What
you
is
might not like what I'm going to say, or you might not like what I'm going to do. But you know, this is in reality, this is a business. We're in a business, and I got to keep the business running smoothly the best I can. Not everybody's going to get along. That's anywhere.
But yeah.
You do the best you can.
What has been the most challenging thing since you've taken chief?
Well, you know, the staffing is definitely one of them. Staffing is the first and foremost. You know, we had some bumps in the roads with the budget. you know, there's been a lot of turnover, so promotions have been constant.
Yeah.
You know, it's a multitude of different things that are kind of tied in together. One thing leads to the other, but, you know, adapting to this job, you know, and I don't want to say it's a job, because being a chief, whether you're fire department, police chief, it's not a job. It's a lifestyle.
Right.
You've acquired a lifestyle. It's 24/7. You're always fielding calls, nights, weekends, emails. Yep. So, you know, it's not where you go to work 8 to 4 or 9 to 5 and you're done for the day. This position has become a lifestyle for me, which I never wanted, to be honest with you, to be
I know.
Lifestyle, because you have to separate your job from your family, from your friends, from your activities. And this kind of all kind of meshes together. Because it is a lifestyle, you know, being a chief of a fire department or a police department.
Yeah.
And even a mayor, you know, a mayor is 24/7 as well. A DA.
Yeah.
24/7. It's not a 9 to 5 job.
I don't think, chief, a lot of people realize that. Thank you for bringing it out. It's not like you're a manager in the GE.
Right.
You're for 8 hours a day, you're the manager, but when you walk out that door, it's a
you can't shut it off.
No.
You can't shut it off.
In these kinds of jobs, you know, you're always on call. And you're right. You get the emails. I think when people need to understand these, the stress of these jobs.
It's a highly stressful job. As much as you want to not answer an email on a weekend or a night, you end up doing it anyways, because A, you don't want to miss anything that's important.
Right.
But you also want to get back to people or take care of issues that may need to be taken care of. So you find yourself gravitating after work or on the weekends, pulling out the laptop, pulling out your phone. It's like, you know, you're it's always on your mind.
Yeah.
You know, you can't shut it off. And it's that way.
And that comes with the turf. Now, what's been the most rewarding thing you found?
I think just being in this position that I never thought when I first started that I'd ever have the ability or the opportunity to become the chief of police. I think putting together a great team here is very rewarding, you know, both civilian and sworn officers, being accepted from majority of the community,
a
community that I grew up in, community that I raising my kids in. Well, they're not kids anymore, but you know, and also to see the changes or the directives that I've had put in place actually working, things working, you know. Yeah, some of them are a little rocky. Some of them, you know, but whatever happens in this department, there's sometimes usually a good outcome.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, hopefully, you know, morale keeps increasing. You know, we go through our ebbs and flows. But, you know, I just want to make sure the officers are safe, the community's safe, and just do the best that we can here. I really do.
Well, and I think as far as observation and I'm in a lot of places and I hear a lot of things, and I think the community as a whole is very pleased with both you and the fire department. One time when I lived in Tucson, the lady next door, we were in an apartment complex. They smashed out her picture window and tried to break into her house. And I went out and a couple of the other neighbors, and they took off running. Now I think back, boy, was I stupid, because everybody had a gun there. So,
yeah.
But we called the police. It took almost an hour, and that was a break in progress for the cops to respond. Because, again, they didn't have the staffing, and they were out straight.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have to triage the calls, Bill. And,
yeah,
you know,
and you got good people doing that.
Which, you know, a B&E is obviously a high,
right?
You know, especially an active B&E. But who knows what was going on then? I mean, you could have an arrest, a motor vehicle accident, a shooting, a stabbing.
Yeah,
unless I go back to the calls for service, I won't know. Now, if I see that we had nothing going on and they stacked the call, well, that's a problem. That's a problem.
Yeah. But I think the setup you have there, the setup you have with a desk sergeant and experienced dispatchers.
Yeah, the dispatch is great. They do a wonderful job.
Yes,
they really do. I give them a lot of credit when I can. You know,
yeah.
I go down there and visit them and say, you know, if there's a good call, I say that you guys did an outstanding job, because they really do. They're the first line.
Yeah. Yeah. And we every so often you'll hear on the news, right, the call, and they'll play the dispatch's return, you know, to the officer, the situation.
Right.
And boy, sometimes they are a direct link between, I don't want to be melodramatic, but between what could be a life and death situation and response, whether it's ambulance, fire, police, or all three.
Yeah. Yeah. They're very, very well trained. They keep very calm and collected. They gather the information appropriately. They push it out to the officers. For example, the bank robbery the other day, the dispatch was just on spot with the information.
Oh, wow.
Pushing it out to the officers.
That is so cool.
Like I said, I went down there after and I says, nice job. That was outstanding. Yeah. Great job with this, so.
And it's so true. And again, I've heard people say, well, why don't we do what they did in the old days? Why don't we have cops dispatching? Well, I won't get into all the stories.
Yeah, we used to.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
And some were excellent and some were, oh, God, he's on tonight.
Yeah.
But it wasn't what they wanted to do. They got an assignment they didn't want and they definitely demonstrated it.
Yeah.
Now we have professionals, and you were probably on when that transition happened. That was not an easy battle for the chief to get those jobs.
Yeah, I remember when the dispatch console was right in the main communications room where the sergeant sits.
Yeah.
That's where the dispatch consoles were.
Yeah.
Yeah, and everything was – that was the hub of the department. It still is. Everybody, still – starts their day, ends their day in the communications room, but it's separate from dispatch. So separate, they're have their own room, secured room, where officers, they can concentrate on what they're doing and not be influenced by anything.
How is the transition to the old city hall going?
Slow, very slow. We are making progress. We had some bumps in the road over the winter. But the mayor has been great with getting that to the forefront, getting it fixed, doing what needs to be done to get over there. So it's a work in progress, but it's nonetheless working.
It's as long as it's moving forward, that's what we got to be happy about. I would like to see it go Mach 5, but I've been in government a long time and. The only thing that goes Mach 5 is, I don't know. I can't think of anything, but if I do, I'll text you.
Let me know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No, that's ultimately we need a new station.
Oh, there's no question.
But, the funding for that is very, very difficult. State funding, match funding.
Oh.
But, if this is a Band-Aid to a bigger quest at the end, then so be it, because we're just busting out here.
They were busting out when I was there in the 80s.
Yeah, it wasn't built for 120 employees, let's put it that way.
No, and through the years, and you don't have to agree with me, but I'll say this openly, through the years, rather than funding necessary repairs, advancements, increased electricity, they didn't. So now what's happening is it's 10 times more expensive and it probably will never get done.
Yeah, this department building is just unfortunately falling apart. So we're always trying to, whether it's the plumbing or the electrical or tiles or, you name it. We're always trying to keep up on, and buildings has been great. If we put in work order and something needs to be done, they're very good at getting it done for us because, we're open 24/7, Bill.
Yeah.
Officers and staff are in here constantly,
And it's a building that has had a lot of use for a lot of years and built in an entirely different era.
Yeah.
You probably have less electricity in that building for more needs than I have in my home.
Yeah, we're pulling a lot of a lot of juice from the lines. From
yeah,
we got a lot of new technology and stuff like that that needs to be powered up, you know.
Well, Chief, all I can say is to all of you and your staff, all your staff, your civilian staff, your sworn, your dispatchers, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
And be safe. You know, the kid that just the off-duty guy that got shot in the face.
That was awful.
I mean, they say he may never, I just heard on the news, he may not speak again.
Yeah.
Got in the throat.
Yeah. I saw the, you know, I was online, I think it was yesterday, and I saw the, I think they had a video out of that incident.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, thank you personally. Thank you. You weren't striving for this job. You got it. And I better thank your better half, your wife.
Yes.
Because it is.
She puts up with a lot.
They do. And believe me, you know, I traveled a lot. I'd be gone for 3 months. We need people like you. If you're interested in becoming a law enforcement officer or firefighter,
yep,
there's ways of doing it. The chief is going to try to make it more easily for you to do
right.
that.
Yep.
But for the time being, get involved. Let people know that you want to be. Go to City Hall, Human Resources over there, and say you're interested in becoming a police officer. Mm-hmm. Well, do you still have the Boy Scout thing there? The what do they call it?
The cadet program?
Cadet, yeah.
Yeah, no, we haven't. I don't think we've done that in a while.
Okay.
I don't remember the last time we.
Okay.
We
All right. Well,
I do remember it.
Yeah, and that was a good feeder for some places. Some of them didn't always go to Pittsfield; they went to other towns. But
yeah, explorers. They call it explorers.
Explorers. That was yeah. it. When you get to be my age, that's why I wear a name tag. In case I get lost, they know where to take me. Chief, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your service and your dedicated service. You're a good man. You got a great team, and I'm always here for you guys. You want to get anything out, I'd be more than happy to get it out for you.
Appreciate it, Bill. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity today.
Well, thank you, and thank Mrs. Dolly. Take her out to dinner some night. Oh, I see. You do that.
We're out and about.
I know you are. Yeah. And, you know what? Ladies and gentlemen, for you that don't know, our wonderful district attorney, Shagru, and his wife, Susan, district attorney Shagru lost his stepdaughter, Susan's daughter, to a homicide. It's a domestic. And, I keep them in your prayers. As I say to everybody, God bless and God bless them. This is a tough, I don't know how I would handle it. But remember, it costs nothing to be kind. Lift somebody's burdens today. Make them smile. Give them a call. You got an old friend? Give them a call. Chief Dolly, God bless you and your family. We'll be back.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you for listening, and see you soon, everybody. Thank you.